So we had been talking about things that people take for granted, things that they misunderstand about the gospel or about the some Bible statements. And we want to take things as they're said, unless, you know, unless it's an obvious figure of speech, like, you know, locusts with stingers or whatever, that could be taken either way. I'm not saying that that's necessarily a figure of speech in Revelation, but we try to take things literally. I mean, God didn't try to trick us. He's telling us what's the truth, and we believe that he's the truth, and so we try to study his word to find out what he's saying. Let's start with the general topic of this area of the study tonight would be what was new about the beginning of the gospel. So let's look at Philippians 4:15. Can y'all hear me all right? Is the sound okay? Philippians 4:15. Thank you. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. So when Paul departed from Macedonia, there was the beginning of the gospel. That's what it says. You Philippians know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia. So the beginning of the gospel that he's talking about was too late to be talking about the gospel of God. The gospel of God is mentioned in Acts 9, verses 20, 22, 29. It's mentioned in Acts 13, verses 30 to 37. And here in Acts that we're talking about Thessalonica and Macedonia. In Thessalonica in Acts 17, verse 3, that's practically a straight-out reading of the gospel of God, the third verse. And we're told that that's what it is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. Now God is consistent about what he means when he says the gospel of God as compared with the gospel of Christ or the gospel of the circumcision. God is, he knows what names he's given things. And I don't understand people that say, well, he meant all the same thing by all these different names. No, he gave them different names because they're different. So that's part of taking it literally. The beginning of the gospel was too late to be the gospel of Christ also. The gospel of Christ is mentioned in Acts 13, verses 38 and 39. Now, when Paul wrote Philippians about the beginning of the gospel, let me just look back here on my notes. That's 4:15, Philippians 4:15. When he wrote that, that was after Acts 28, or after all except the last two. It could have been in the last two verses of Acts 28, but it's way later than Acts 17 when he visited Thessalonica. So it couldn't have been, in other words, he had already been preaching the gospel of Christ. So this beginning of a gospel, when he sailed away from Macedonia in Acts 20, verse 6, could not have been the gospel of Christ. It was already started. The beginning of the gospel also was, well, let me read this verse that shows that the Philippians that Paul writes to, most probably the first book he wrote, the first epistle that he wrote after the end of, the end of the Acts period, but after he had actually been sent to all people, put it that way. There was a time that he was being sent to the same people that Judaism had been with all those centuries. And he was sent to the same people, the ones in the synagogues, the Jews and the Greeks, the God-fearing Gentiles that would come to the synagogues and bless God, bless Israel, fear God, and look for the fulfilling of God's covenants with Israel. And the part that they could have was in Genesis 12:3. God promised that I will bless them, Israel, I will bless them that bless you. So these Gentiles would bless Israel to receive that promised blessing of the Lord. So in Philippians that Paul writes after Acts 28, after most of Acts 28, in chapter 1, verse 27, he tells us about how they got saved earlier during the book of Acts. He says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. So they had believed the gospel of Christ when Paul visited them. That would be in Acts 16 when he visited them in Philippi. And then he wrote back to them later, this telling them that their conversation should be as becometh the gospel of Christ, because that's what they were saved by. So he says, I may, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. So here in Philippians, he's talking about the gospel he had mentioned earlier in the verse, the gospel of Christ. When you find the verses where Paul sailed away from Philippi, Macedonia, and we researched that before, we found that happened in Acts chapter 20, verse 6. 18 verses after that, God named that gospel the gospel of the grace of God in Scripture. And we can find it and we can read it. It's the testifying of, testifying is a dispensing of the grace of God. It was God offering his grace to believers that would believe that Christ died for their sins, was buried, and rose again. Their sins, in other words, they don't believe they're still carrying their sins. If Christ died for them, they're not gonna, there's no way they can die in sin. Their sins are all died for already by Christ. Christ introduced the mystery of Christ to Paul in a dispensing of the gospel of Christ to the Jews, as we see in Acts 17:3. Paul calls it his manner of first going to the synagogues to preach the gospel of God, those strictly the facts about who Jesus is, not a gospel of salvation. He would make sure that everybody that's going to hear, when he later preaches the gospel of salvation, the gospel of Christ, he makes sure that they all know who Jesus is. And then he preaches the gospel of Christ to the Jew first, to those that have heard and believed the gospel of God about Jesus and his identity, his name, the name of Jesus. That's how you recognize somebody, identify somebody, is by their name. When it says believe the name of Jesus, it's talking about that they're to believe that Jesus really was the Messiah, that he wasn't a fraud that they claimed he was when they had him crucified. They were to repent of that very sin. So later, the target audience for the gospel of salvation changed from just strictly the Jews, as it had been for centuries, to all men. And that was a shocker. It caught them by surprise. It was when Christ sent Paul to all men to dispense or to testify that gospel of the grace of God, starting in Acts 20. Now, that's when his authority was given to him. He was sent out with that gospel. But it doesn't say anywhere in the remaining chapters of Acts that he went to a synagogue and preached it, or that he... it's not listed, reported, that he did that until after the end of Acts. But he did tell those, he talked, he called the elders down from Ephesus to Miletus in Acts 20, verse 17. And this was just after he'd been sent out in verse 6 to all men. He called them down and gave them a lot of instructions, told them he wouldn't see their face anymore. He was going further out. And so he dismissed them. They went back. And several years later, Paul hears about a church in Ephesus that those elders, how else could that have started? That's the only indication the Bible gives us of how that church in Ephesus started. The one with these believers in it that had not heard about Jesus in the synagogues. They didn't care about synagogues, Israel, promises, you know, covenant. They were making their own idols. They were across the street throwing stones at Paul, rioting. So the content or the saving message of the gospel stayed the same. It was the same saving message. Believe that Christ died for your sins and rose again on the third day, and you'll be saved. Believe that your sins are already died for. The content stayed the same. It's spelled out we're going to go through it and read it right now. In the Bible, the way the Bible puts it. 1 Corinthians 15:1-6. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. Remember, he had gone to Corinth and preached to them. That would be in Acts 18. Preached to them the gospel. And here he's writing back to them a chapter later and saying, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. He's telling them again, just to be sure. The gospel which I preached to you, which you also have received, wherein you stand, by which also you are saved. So it's a gospel of salvation. And he says, how are you saved? By keeping in memory what I preached to you. And then he's going to review it and give it to you. So let's start with verse 2. By which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you. Unless you've believed in vain. In other words, it's vain to believe Peter's gospel or anybody else's gospel that comes in. I'm the only one that Christ revealed this mystery to, Paul would say. So he goes on and tells them what it is to believe to be saved. I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas and then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. This present would be the time when he wrote 1 Corinthians. That's 1 Corinthians 15, the first 6 verses of 1 Corinthians 15. So, before the beginning of the gospel, Paul called that saving message, he called it my gospel, because Christ had revealed it to him with instructions to reveal it to us. And that's what Paul's Romans through Philemon epistles are all about. That's why he wrote them, to reveal it to us, what God's new word was, his newly inspired scriptures were. In Romans, Paul called his gospel my gospel in Romans 2, verse 16, and in Romans 16, verse 25. That was before the beginning of the gospel that Paul is talking about, which was the same gospel message, but sent to all people instead of just to the Jew and the Greek, as it had been before that beginning. After the beginning of the gospel, Paul called the same saving message my gospel called it again my gospel in 2 Timothy 2:8. So the same, that saving message, the content of the gospel, it stayed the same in the gospel of the grace of God after he was sent to all people, after the beginning of the gospel, as it had been in the gospel of Christ before the beginning of the gospel of the grace of God. Romans, let me go through those verses. Romans 16:25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel. That's the starting point. My gospel is how you get in the door. You get saved. But you're not established yet. That's the first part of establishment, being established or stabilized. The preacher, he says, there's an and after that. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel, and, in other words, second here, would be the preaching of Jesus Christ, and not just any preaching of Jesus Christ. It's the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made known, made manifest. So it's not the preaching of Jesus Christ according to prophecy that you find in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery that you find in Romans through Philemon. So that's the first two of three things that establish you. The third thing is in verse 26. I don't have that in front of me, but it's the Old Testament, not just the Old Testament writings that stabilize us, help us to know the difference, that we're not under the law, but it includes also, I believe, all the scriptures. Not just the Old Testament, not just the New Testament, not just Paul's writings, but all the scriptures. We should be studying all the scriptures. Another passage. Let me just read the other part. That was Romans 16:25 was before he was sent to all people at the beginning of the gospel. After that was 2 Timothy 2:8. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead, according to my gospel. And I believe when he says according to my gospel, I believe he's saying, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead, just like I said in my gospel. The difference is not that Paul said it. The difference between Jesus' resurrection, the difference it makes to us compared to the difference it makes to Israel, is that in Acts 2 verse 30, the Bible says that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead to sit on the throne of David. That doesn't relate to us. We'll be in heaven by then. That relates to Israel, that will still be on earth, and Jesus Christ will rule the world from David's throne in the land. Israel will be part of that rulership. So the difference, you know, that's not what we're promised. That's not what we're told that Christ's resurrection means to us. To us, it's Romans 4:25, that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead for our justification. That's what justifies us. I mean, we're saved by the blood of the cross, but it was when he rose from the dead that our justification was made known to us. So another passage of scripture where the saving message is before, it's before the beginning of the gospel, shows to be the same saving message as after the beginning of the gospel, is these two verses here in Ephesians 1, verses 12 and 13. That we should be to the... what we're looking for here is something that shows it was the same gospel before Christ sent Paul to all people as it was after he sent him to all people, even though it's a different name because of the wider audience. So, Ephesians 1, verse 12, and then we'll read verse 13. That we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. Well, Acts comes before any of Paul's epistles, so the ones that first trusted in Christ would be the ones in Acts. The ones before Christ sent Paul to all people, or before the beginning of the gospel when Paul sailed away from Philippi, Macedonia, in Acts 20, verse 6. Now, when you read verse 13, you can see that they're connected. It's the same gospel. Let me read them in continuance here, in sequence. That we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Great verse, isn't it? But it says that Paul and those in Acts that believed the gospel of Christ at that time, which was the gospel of salvation, they believed the same saving message as you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. So they heard it later, but they believed it. It was presented to them under a different name, the gospel of the grace of God, but it was the same gospel, same saving message. Believe that Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. Believe on Him to life everlasting. So, just to reiterate, in Ephesians 1:12, those Ephesians of Acts 18 and 19, when Paul visited Ephesus, those who first trusted in Christ were trusting the gospel of Christ in the Acts period, according to 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 6. In Ephesians 1, verse 13, those Ephesians who also trusted later, after they had heard the gospel of their salvation, they were trusting the gospel of the grace of God after Paul's later sending, according to 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 6, the same scripture. Both before and after the beginning of the gospel, they in Ephesus trusted the gospel of their salvation in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 6. It was not two different saving messages. It was not two different programs. It was the same saving message of the same salvation into the same body of Christ. Those in Acts, when Paul was sent to the Jew first and also to the Greek, and those after Acts, that believed the gospel when Paul was sent to all people. Okay? So, that you may have to listen to more than once to take it all in. Let's go on, though. Did Philippi, the town of Philippi, hear the gospel of grace, the gospel of Christ, or only the gospel of God? Implications are made by some people. Now, here's where the mistake comes in, the mistaken understanding or misunderstanding. Implications are made by some people that we Bible believers claim that the gospel of Christ began in Acts 18. But that's not true. How could the gospel of salvation, the gospel of Christ, begin in Acts 18 if people were saved in Antioch of Pisidia in Acts 13? And Lystra, you know, Derbe, Thessalonica in Acts 17. Philippi, Philippians 1:27 says there were people saved in Philippi in the gospel of Christ in Acts 16. It's not true. We don't preach that the gospel of Christ began in Acts 18. It began way before that. After Christ, after Paul's salvation in Acts 9, well, there's some controversy or some difference of reading in of those verses. Some people think it began at his salvation, some people soon after or afterwards as he grew. But I have my own understanding about that. And I guess if I'm teaching, I can tell you it. I think he was saved and came to know how he was saved right there while he was still blind on the road to Damascus, the day of his salvation. Because he says, what wilt thou have me to do, Lord? And 1 Corinthians, 12, verse 3, I think it is, says that it's only by the Holy Spirit that you can call Jesus the Lord. So he had the Holy Spirit at that point. And he was not saved some other way, you know, not justified some other way, and then later saved as a justified person. He was saved as chief of sinners. 1 Timothy 1:15. And that didn't change. He was saved on the road to Damascus, the way I understand it. Okay? But that's not a requirement for salvation, to agree with that. People think have different understandings as they read it, or they may read part of it and understand it a little differently. So we're still in fellowship with people that are saved. You're saved not by those timing issues, what happened in what sequence, but you're saved by trusting that Christ died for all your sins that you'll ever commit. They're already died for. And that he was buried and that he rose again to justify you with God. Make you in line with God's requirements. Justify you. So, Christ did reveal the gospel of the grace of God to Paul in his temple vision in Acts 18:22. Now, you look there, you won't find it, but that's when it happened, and it's told about in Acts 22, verses 17 to 21, actually. But Christ revealed it to Paul, that gospel of the grace of God, during the temple vision, but he had not yet commissioned him to go preach it to all men until Acts 20, verse 6. When he departed from Philippi, Macedonia. And you can tell in his writings there between Acts 18 and Acts 20, that would be 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, and Romans, you can see hints that he's not preaching it to all people yet, but he's saying that Christ died for all, I should have made a list, I have a list somewhere. But I should have brought it out. But there are places. Let me just think for a minute. All Israel shall be saved. Romans 11:26-7. There in Romans 3. If you read through Romans 3 and Romans 4, those two chapters, you find it. I'm pretty sure it's at least twice. I know once it's in there that it talks about all men. 3:22 and 23, 3:22 especially, I think it is, 21 maybe. as long as I'm rambling, let me look up those verses and post them here. Romans 3, 21 and 22, and then we'll look at them, 21 and 22. But now, differently than before, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, shown. How it's God's righteousness, but it's without the law, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, told about, seen by the, you know, when somebody witnesses something, they tell it. The law tells the righteousness of God, how righteous he is. Verse 22, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all. See, it says all people there. That kind of slips by until you recognize that it's not any. He's not talking about the Jews and the Greeks here getting to hear the gospel, as it was during the book of Acts, most of the book of Acts. 9 through 19 anyway, those 10 chapters, the middle part of Acts, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. So the righteousness of God only comes upon those that believe. It's coming up to them. It's available to everybody, but it's only upon all them that believe. For there's no difference. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So, that all is in connection with Christ's later sending of Paul to dispense the gospel of the grace of God, as Paul told about in Acts 22, verses 17 to 21. That's the gospel. That's when he started sending it, preaching it, giving it out, dispensing it, that gospel of salvation to people like us. We're in that people group. That's our gospel. 1 Corinthians 15, the first six verses of it. That's how we can be sure that we're saved. Not because I'm sure I was good enough. No, I'm sure I'm not good enough. Give up. You can't get to God that way. You can never erase the sin that you're born with or the sin that you commit before you're 2 years old or whatever. You can tell in a two-year-old they've got that flesh, the Adam nature in them to rebel. What's usually the first word they learn is no. Don't do that. Anyway, let's read those verses where Paul reports later on, four chapters after it happened actually, after his temple vision, he reports what happened in that temple vision. Acts 22, verses 17 to 21, starting with verse 17. And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem. Now, he had just given his salvation account, account of how he was saved on the road to Damascus. That's not Jerusalem. That's years earlier in Damascus. So this is a second account he's giving. It came to pass that when I was come again, so it's not the first time back to Jerusalem, it's again, it's another time. When I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance, verse 18, and saw him saying unto me, make haste, get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And in other words, if you tell them, those Jews, what I'm about to reveal to you, they'll kill you. And God didn't want Paul killed yet. He says, make haste, get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And I said, here's Paul. You got to laugh every time that happens. There's another instance of it. I can't think of it right now, but Paul is arguing with the Lord. I think that was Moses maybe that did that. He said, I said, Lord, they know that I imprison and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. That's the gospel of God. The ones that rejected the gospel of God, like Paul or Saul of Tarsus at that time, and those disbelieving Jews, they didn't believe the gospel of God. But the ones that did, Paul came after him to imprison them. And it says another place that some of them were put to death. He says, and I said, Lord, they know that I imprison and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. Verse 20, and when the blood of thy martyr, Stephen, was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death and kept the raiment of them that slew him. In other words, he participated. He was not just there. He had access to it. Yeah, he was an accessory. But he took part, holding their coats and agreeing with their stoning him. So, but then in verse 21, Paul stops arguing about it. He, God, said unto me, Paul, depart. For I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. Now that's different from in Acts 9 when the Lord said to Paul, according to Acts 26, he said, I now send you to those that I'll have to deliver you from, the Jews and the Greeks. The Greeks are the Gentiles that are listed in the text. It doesn't say all Gentiles. Anyway, let's go on. Christ had said, depart. In other words, what part did you not understand, Paul? Make haste, get thee quickly out of Jerusalem. Before Christ's later sending of Paul, Christ had already appeared to Paul in Acts 9 to reveal his mystery pattern of saving formerly unforgivable sinners into the body of Christ. It's amazing, isn't it? It's right to sing Amazing Grace. The gospel in that earlier dispensing or doling out of the gospel was the gospel of Christ. That's what the gospel was named back then, when it was to the Jew first and also to the Greek. It's told about in 1 Corinthians 9, verses 12 and 17 and 18. Let's read those. And we'll be closing soon after this. At least closing this study. We've got another study coming up with Steve Gottberg. But 1 Corinthians 9, 12, 17, and 18. If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. It's called the gospel of Christ before the end of Acts, or at least before Acts 20. This Corinthians was written in Acts 19. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward, but if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. What then is my reward? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. So he's talking about the gospel of Christ here, and you can see the connection between dispensing it, giving it out to people, and it being called the dispensation of the gospel. It's not a word to be afraid of. It's just a statement of the condition of dispensing that gospel. You dispense it, that's a dispensation. That saving gospel is detailed, as we've read, in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 6. If you're ever in doubt, read it. Read it tonight. Make sure you're believing that Christ died for your sins. That's the only way to be 100% sure that you're saved. Because that it takes 100% belief that Christ died for your sins and that they're all died for. And that, you know, if you don't believe that, are you saying God lied? Are you saying I don't believe the Bible? He didn't lie. The Bible is true. God went through the centuries, great trouble, great effort, I should say, to get the Word of God to us in its pure form. Believe Him. The earlier commissioning of Paul to the Jew first and also to the Greek extended from Acts 13, verses 2 and 4, until Christ sent Paul to all men at the beginning of the gospel that we started this part with, the beginning of the gospel in Philippians 4, 15, where he mentions it, with the dispersing or dispensing of the gospel of the grace of God to all men. Okay, questions, comments, corrections. I'm done with the lesson part.